Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Your one-stop shop for sports talk.
I get my sports information. Sports.
Sports.
The Weekend Rocks with Butch and
Evan Dryick.
Whether it's Pats, Sox, B's, or C's, Butch Stearns and
Evan Dryick
put it all on the table, and they let you air it all out as well. So let's get to it. Here's Butch and
Evan Dryick
on Sports Radio WEEI.
Evan, you wake up in the night with a fear so real, you spend your life living for a moment that just don't come.
Butch, if I told you you were in my dream last night, would that be too weird? Would that be a weird thing to
say? It would only be weird if it wasn't true.
It was true. I was asking Jerry Callahan if you were more similar in voice to Glenn Ordway or looks to somebody else. And I don't remember who the other comparison was, but that was a real comment. So now Jerry Callahan has infiltrated my dreams, too. It's all the old men of Boston sports media in Boston. Are just,
it's not weird because it was true.
The song's actually about Boston sports media, fun fact.
Really?
You wake up John in the Anderson. Night with a fear so real. You spend your life waiting for a moment that just don't come. Don't waste your time waiting for that moment. You got to live it every day, Evan.
I'm here. I feel alive when I'm here with you, Butch.
Red Sox lose 8-1 today. They lost 10-2 yesterday, 4-2 the day before, 12-1 the day before, 6-1. They have not won since last Tuesday when they beat Max Scherzer and the Nats 8-4. Are you worried? Do you want me to add it up? 6, 18, 22, 32, 40. They've been outscored 40-2, 4, 5, 6, 7. They've been outscored 40-7 in their last
five
spring
training games. There was a big conversation going into last year's April about the rest philosophy that they had. Could you go too far in resting these guys? Because nobody in their right mind would argue that it's good to give guys a slower buildup, and you want people to be able to last down the stretch. The thing I would point out, particularly when it comes to position players, but also the pitchers, it's an inexact science. You don't know how many days exactly will benefit somebody. So sometimes Cora would run a lineup out there and you go, wait, you need to have everybody sitting today? Do you really need to give this guy this many days off in this period of time? And fitting in with the story of the 2018 Red Sox, it never mattered. Even when they lost the game occasionally and there was a
questionable. Are you saying the way they came out of spring training, the way they handled their pitchers didn't matter by the end of the season?
Oh, it probably helped in the long run, but the possible pitfalls that would have logically presented themselves in April where maybe we're not ramped up enough or maybe we're being a little too cautious. None of that ever became an issue to the point where people were like, we got to talk about this. I mean, I remember writing about it and talking about it on the baseball show with Lou a little bit back at the old NBC days, but, you know, fitting with everything of the 2018 Red Sox, virtually everything went right. And they're expecting it to happen again. Everything in the bullpen is going to go right again. Everything with the slow ramp is going to go right again. Everybody's going to stay healthy. And even when somebody doesn't stay healthy, whatever the replacement is going to do great. And it's just, baseball doesn't work like that year to year. It just doesn't. The 2017 Red Sox are a perfect example. Everything that went right in 2016, a lot of it took a step back in 2017. Took a step forward in 2018. Well, what do you think is going to happen this year? Everything is going to go right again?
No, I'm a little confused. Do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing the way they did it last year and the way they're doing it this year, getting guys ready?
I think it's good for the long run, but to think that you're going to have this great April again automatically, no.
Okay.
Mm-mm. Nope, don't work like that. You're going to have some people who are going to struggle in April. You might lose some games in April.
I think the way when you look at their schedule, them starting with an 11-game road trip, I think they're probably going to be happy to come back 500 or 6-5.
Well,
from that
of the team, you know, not playing exactly world-beating teams right there with the Mariners and the A's and the Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks are a pretty good team, but they gave up pieces this year over the winter, too. I mean, it's you know, there's not a team out there you go, all right, they're playing somebody I'm intrigued by them playing.
So here's what I would say to you. Last year, they were 19-6 in April. They followed it up with an 18-11 May. So
And that made it the whole rest of the year easier, as it always will. If you
absolutely
bank but if wins.
But if they're 13-13 at the end of April, do you think it's the death knell for them?
No.
It's certainly going to change the way this season starts compared to last year. Because the Yankees will probably go 19-6 to start this year.
I was of the firm belief, really the last 2 years, Butch, that there would be a race in the American League East. And more, there was a better race, if memory serves, in 2017 than there was in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Which is unbelievable, but it's true. And I think at some point, the Yankees, although they have problems with Luis Severino, it's not like everything's going right for them at this moment, but we deserve a pennant race. I deserve a pennant. I deserve to be right every once in a while. I think you are bound to see this Red Sox team actually encounter some difficulty, because I would dare anybody to call up 617-779-7937 and tell me, when did the 2018 Red Sox ever really encounter a lot of trouble?
Evan Drellick and Butch Stearns, we're here till 6 o'clock. What problem do you have with Chris Cotillo from Mass Live?
I like Chris Cotillo. I've always helped him. I helped him when he was a young kid. Why are you bringing him up?
Because apparently on today's broadcast, this was yesterday's broadcast on WEEI, Chris had a few things to say about you.
Somebody let him on the air?
Yeah, here it is.
Before we get to North Carolina Duke, you wanted to, if nothing else, your payment for coming on here is to get the opportunity to critique your good friend Evan Drellick. Go ahead.
Right. No, I mean, it's an honor to be sitting here and already knowing that I'm better at radio than him.
Well, okay.
It's been, what, 10 minutes and we're already, you know, it's a WEEI way to just make Drellick the punching bag, so I'm glad to jump right in.
Well, much like we were talking with Matt Barnes, we can't talk in generalities here. We can't just say, hey, you go gave up 3 runs in spring training. What was the problem? Tell me, with velocity, was it command? What was it? So what are you talking about? Pick it apart.
With Drellick?
Yeah.
Just a general attitude.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, you just, the way he dresses, the way his hair looks, that picture from Winter Weekend. You know, it's just the whole package.
Well, the good news is that we're going to play this clip, and he'll be able to respond because he's on at 3 o'clock tomorrow on these airways. I'm sure he'll be on the morning show next week as well. 3 o'clock, I was going to be on with him, but that would be impossible because I'm also going to be doing the Red Sox broadcast. So we'll be competing once against me and Evan, but I will make sure that you're...
Why is he not covering the game?
Well, he's taking a break.
Wow.
He's taking a break, Chris.
Huh.
He's taking a look at you.
It's like when your parents tell you the dog went to a farm.
People don't even know who this is, by the way.
Evan's taking a break.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. I can't say I'm not happy.
I'm on a farm upstate. That's
right.
This
is going to be great. This is going to be a great rebuttal from Evan.
Oh, I can't wait.
Outstanding rebuttal. And it'll be good. This is how Evan got his whole thing going in this broadcast booth right here.
Yeah, just like
screaming
that.
Screaming and yelling on the morning show, right?
Yeah, just,
that's
like,
true.
Just like
right.
That.
Yeah, it's great to follow in footsteps of someone like that.
Boy, there you
go. These days. So people don't even know who Chris Cotillo is. He works for MassLive.com, which, by the way, I was the first beat writer at MassLive.com to do what Cotillo and his buddy Chris Smith are doing right now. So, number one, I'm your godfather. You should be thanking me. Number two, don't talk about my hairline. You have no hair. You stumpy, lumpy, little, do-nothing, down in Florida, wannabe beat writer, okay? People still remember this guy, Chris Cotillo, better from when he was like 13, and he had some people in the industry helping him out. He was breaking some stories on MLB Network. And he was like this boy wonder. Now you've got a few kids and thinking they can break baseball trades. And he did it. I'll give Cotillo credit. He did it. But he did more as a 14-year-old than he's done in his adult professional career. Just getting a job at Mass Live out of UNC doesn't mean you've accomplished anything in this world.
You're close. You're close for a good comeback. But to make it a great comeback. So he went at your looks. You took on his
looks.
Have
you seen what he looks like?
Lumpy Dumpy.
Have you seen him?
No, I got it. Lumpy Dumpy, you called him. Okay. He went at, you know, why aren't you covering the game? And you told him he's a wannabe beat writer. That was good. But then the dog analogy.
Because I only work for double
the
salary.
No, the dog analogy. He said, you can isolate that if you can there, John, I'm putting you on the spot. But he brought up the dog analogy.
It's like when your parents tell you the dog went to a farm.
That's right. That's what he
you
said.
You being... So you need something.
I'm at a professional development.
You can wait till the next break and think about it, but you need something really to come back with.
Yeah,
that.
Because I only work for double what he's making now. That's the way it goes.
Oh, you want to come at him with a salary.
Yeah. What else can I do at that point?
To be fair, no one knows how to pronounce his last name.
Either of us, really. We're in the same boat on that. I can't really rail on him for that. Two L's and an I, and everybody gets confused.
Let's watch
same
him cover the
me.
Parade.
Wow. Want to get him on the line? See if he talks so tough the final 15 minutes here? I actually think he'd be okay on the radio. He's actually a pretty funny kid. But he should probably try to write something worth reading. Probably not with his newfound job and his access down there. Right. You know, his partner on the beat does these great tattoo stories. Mass Live has cornered the market on why every Red Sox player has a tattoo. And also, usually, the childbirth stories, which got to be a little weird to start asking guys about their childbirth stories. You ever do that, Butch?
No. No.
That's a weird one.
No. I did this spring talk to Heath Embry about his... he had to leave because his wife was giving birth the next morning and she was having a C-section. So
that came up in the natural course of things.
Yeah. Asked him about if he was going to go in the room and he said yes. And you know,
do you know where MassLive.com is based out of?
No.
You have no idea?
I do not.
It's almost like that outlet doesn't really register with
I know exactly where it is.
No,
important people.
I have MassLive bookmarked.
But you don't know what it's about. Or what it?
I give them credit. They have so many reporters that whether it's news or sports, I often go to them because when I'm working on TV and I need information confirmed or a schedule or something, they're pretty good that I can get it. And I'm not paying for the Globe subscription, so
I'm
that's
torn
where
on
I go
that
to
one.
Get.
You know, I believe in supporting the paid places. If I like paying for. That said, the Globe is too expensive even for me.
Yeah. I don't
they need to have
buy
a
it because
option.
I can get the information elsewhere. There's nothing, I shouldn't say nothing. There's, you know, the exclusivity.
Well, the big
that
Bob Holler.
I grew up reading the Globe in its heyday. I had to have it every day. I had to have it when Peter Gammons was there, when Will McDonough was there, when everybody was there covering hockey, covering
well,
basketball,
live,
Bob
Butch.
Ryan. No, I don't feel like I'm missing anything. I'm sorry. Sorry to say that. But again, once a month, I'll pick up the Globe and I'll bury myself in it like I did when I was a kid. And I feel like I caught a cop. And I like everybody that works there. I like Gasper. I like Shaughnessy. I like reading them. But I don't feel like I need to have it on a daily basis. There's just too much information anymore. You know, I grew up when I felt like if I missed the Globe, I was missing something. And if I missed the Herald, I felt that I had to read both sports pages here. And then there was the website called sportspages.com. If I wanted to go to another city, I would just click on that and get the Philadelphia Inquirer or get the New York Daily News or whatever and feel like I would miss something if I didn't go to those sites and I was covering that. Now, I'm sorry. I follow Twitter. I'll get it on Twitter, and I'll get it for free.
It's the news industry's fault. We condition people to believe they could get all this stuff for free. Then nobody has to pay for us to do our work. Somebody's got to pay for it. Advertisers. Somebody's got to pay to let me have a job.
All right.
Let me have the privilege of eating the free press box food and staring at the back of Chris Cotillo's thinning head at 22 years old.
617-779-7937 if you'd like to chime in these final 40 minutes. I want to go back to baseball for a second. We started with David Price, compared him to Kyrie Irving, and talked about how it may change for him this year. Simple question, simple baseball question for you. Sale, Price, Porcello, Eovaldi, Erod. They're five starters coming into the season. If I asked you last year who was going to lead the team in wins, would you have said Rick Porcello?
No.
Who's going to lead the team in wins when this season's over?
Ooh.
Here's why I think that's an interesting question.
If Sale holds up, it's Sale, but we don't know if he'll hold up. It's the same thing with Price. I mean, Porcello has the durability card that the others don't.
What about Erod? Can he finally have that breakout?
No, Erod's
got to
go more than five innings. I mean, who's the one guy Cora has been critical of publicly, not only the spring training, but in the past? It's Erod. The Erod situation is so weird to me.
Why?
Because the players baby him. Ever since he's been around this group of guys, and I can think of multiple kids, you know, every time he throws a rehab game or sim game or whatever you want to call it, coming back from the knee injury, every single teammate goes out there to support him, which, like, it's nice. It's nice. But there are moments with this Erod stuff where I would roll my eyes and just be like, holy cow, he's not 12. This isn't Little League. He could throw a freaking bullpen without his whole team looking on. So you've got one faction of the team that's babying him. You've got others who, like Alex Cora, are kind of trying to publicly push him a little bit. And all of it adds up to, like, why does this all have to be so kind of dramatic with him? What's the big deal?
Well, I think the intrigue about Erod is that over his career, he's shown flashes. I mean, not just one game, a five or six game stretch where you're like, ooh, that's a guy with potential top of the rotation stuff.
You know,
that's
who I
the
compare
ultimate
him to,
tease,
right?
Though. True Pomerantz?
No. He's the right-handed Clay Buchholz.
Mm. That's a good analogy.
And we'll see if he can be more than that. But,
well, but in fairness to Buchholz, he's done much more in his career than he's had a longer time to do it. But he's had seasons where he's been arguably the best pitcher in baseball for stretches. Eddie Rodriguez has never done that yet.
No, but it's still that general idea of our high potential. We see the flashes. He could be brilliant. He could strike out everybody in five innings in Baltimore.
So again, here we are 2 weeks before the start of the season, and I said last year if I asked you who would lead the Red Sox in wins, none of us would have said Rick Porcello.
No.
But in hindsight, if you think about it, he would have been a good candidate because he is durable, off-year, good year, bad year, good year. That's sort of been his thing. Cy Young, then, you know, lead the league in home runs given up or whatever. So he would have been a logical one. Eddie's not because he's never done it, but he does have the stuff. So will he always be Clay Buchholz? Will he always be the ultimate tease that'll never put it together? If that's the case, should you trade him if he has a great start and becomes an all-star and is 13-3 at the all-star break?
You can't trade him, Butch, because if this organization still has a shred of caring about the future, it's the same thing with Blake Swihart and any of these younger guys. You have a handful of guys who are still under team control for a while, who are relatively inexpensive so that ownership doesn't have to spend a ton on them. It can put the money elsewhere. If you're looking to 2021, when baseball will be on strike anyway, and you and I will be out there on the picket lines with them, who do you have besides E-Rod? Who do you have besides Blake Swihart? Andrew Benintendi will start to hit arbitration coming up, but there's just not a lot of young guys.
Well, you got Michael Chavis, and you got the next round of prospects. Yeah, you got Dahlbeck.
Sure, but look what's happening with E-Rod. I mean, these guys look good in spring training, but it could take a long time for these guys to be established. So, E-Rod, if things go right and one of Sale leaves, Porcello leaves, somebody's going to leave. We know that. Ownership couldn't be clearer about that. Not all of them are going to stay.
Yeah,
they're not going to pay all of them.
Correct me if I'm wrong. He's 1 year away from free agency. 2 years.
Who?
E-Rod.
I'd have to look.
I'm looking at Cots Baseball right now. His first year in the majors was 2015. 15, 16, 17,
yeah,
18,
but
19.
Well, it's all about, service time and days in the big leagues. I'll tell you right now. Give me a second.
Okay, well, I think he's a free agent at the end of next year, 2020.
He's got three more years. He's got 3 years of service time under his belt. You need six.
Really?
Yeah. It's all about the days. It's all literally every day you spend in the big league.
Oh, I see it. MLB service time, 3.1.
Yep.
So he's got three more years of arbitration eligibility. I'm bringing that up because you talked about control and baseball in the future and having those guys in your system. So they can control him for only two more seasons beyond this.
No, you're getting, right. 19, 20, and 21, E-Rod is still Red Sox control. 21 right now would be his
walk. And in a year when Rick Porcello and Chris Sale can walk, he's still the type of guy who might be the ultimate tease, but a guy you can have under control. That's your point. So you wouldn't trade him.
You're about trading him, but what are you training him for? What are you going to need?
Maybe an experienced closer.
Put him out in the bullpen. He's so mentally tough.
Quick break. We're back with more with Butch and Drellick.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Crank it up. The weekend's just got better. Let's return to more Butchin'
Evan Drake
on Sports Radio WEEI.
Well, it's been what, 10 minutes, and we're already, you know, it's a WEEI way to just make Drellick the punching bag, so I'm glad to jump right in. The way he dresses, the way his hair looks, that picture from Winter Weekend, you know, it's just the whole package. Why is he not covering the game?
Well, he's taking a break. He's taking a break, Chris. He's taking a look at you.
It's like when your parents tell you the dog went to a farm.
What?
Evan's taking a break.
Wow. You're filing that
decent
away,
content there for Cotillo. He's got to bring a little more energy, though. You got to be revved up and you got to feel it.
Yeah, he should have deadpanned it. He should have laughed at the end. That's sort of...
We're a lot of things, but you and I aren't fake.
That's true.
I get annoyed by card games on planes. It's true. It's been something my grandma said all throughout my life. I can't take a plane with Evan because he'll get annoyed with those people playing pinochle over there. You can't do it.
617-779-7937. Want to talk a little football? Oh, you had a question for me.
I do have a question for you.
What's your question?
How are the squirrels?
Oh, you had to bring that up.
Well, everybody was hanging on the edge of their seat 2 weeks ago. I want to know what's going on.
I haven't addressed it yet.
You haven't addressed the squirrels.
So what happened?
Update the listeners on the squirrels.
What happened is, in my rental property, my tenant called me late at night because a squirrel had poked a hole through her bedroom wall. I mean, she was, in fairness to her, she was great about it, because if that happened in my house, I would have flipped out. And I have had squirrels in my attic. So I couldn't get there. I was working that night. I was about to go on the air. It was 10 minutes before the newscast. Her cousin came over, took a piece of sheetrock, and literally nailed it and taped it to the wall, so it's still there. But then we got the snowstorm, and I haven't been able to get in there. But I have found, I think, where the squirrels are getting in the house, and that's the key. Here's the problem with the squirrels. It's not an easy process to get them out. It is not an easy process.
What do you have to do? I've never had a squirrel. I've had a lot of problems in my life.
You have to have a plan, okay? And the plan includes traps and outsmarting them.
Okay, no, be nice to the squirrels.
No. Do you know how the squirrel catchers kill the squirrels?
No, the tails are so thin. No, they catch them in the wild.
And then you know what they do? They cover the trap with a hood.
Oh, I don't want to hear this.
And they take a car and they run the car and they put the fumes from the exhaust in the car and they just kill the squirrel.
I don't want to hear this.
You know what I've heard from squirrel catchers? They'll take squirrels.
Is that something you have on a business
They'll catch like 14 squirrels on your property, and they'll drive them 5 miles away, and those squirrels will find their way back to the property. Squirrels are the nastiest animals. You think they're cute because they sit there with the little mouths and little hands.
Tails.
They eat
bushy tails.
Oh, yeah.
They're cute rats.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I think so.
Squirrels.
So your tenant's okay with the fact that her...
No, she's not okay, but she's okay that she knows I'm doing my homework, and I'll get there and take care of it
eventually.
Do you
feel you're being a good landlord?
I am a good landlord.
Okay.
I am a good landlord. I'm very direct. My tenants know me as a good landlord. You can't get too close to them. They're like kids. You want to love them up, but you can't.
You got to be hard on your children. Keep them at arm's length. treat your kids like the squirrels.
Why did you have to go down the squirrels thing? We got like 30 minutes
I have one other question. Is there a professional squirrel? Is something?
Oh, yeah.
I can have that on a business card. If I wanted to right now, I could go to a school. And I could become a professional squirrel catcher, exterminator, etc.
So there's a guy.
I'd like to do humane squirrel disposal. I'd like to bring him to
I'm
a farm.
Look
upstate.
In my contacts because they have a guy saved under Squirrel Man.
Squirrel Man.
Yeah, he's got a little costume.
No, we're not talking about Chris Cotillo anymore. We're talking about people who get rid of squirrels off of properties.
Oh, they're miserable. Anybody that's had squirrels knows that. Feel free to call up and share your squirrel story. Interesting segue into NFL free agency.
Speaking of,
here's something that I find interesting. Here we are. NFL free agency starts Wednesday. If you're a football fan, it's an exciting time, right? So you get all these big guys out there. You had Antonio Brown out there. Every year, there's all these big guys out there. And rare is it the time that the Patriots on day one spend big money. They did it with Stephon Gilmore. Would you argue that was a good signing?
Yeah.
I would too.
Who would say no?
The last time they did it before that was Adalis Thomas. He was a starter on a Super Bowl team that didn't win the Super Bowl, but I think most people would argue that was not a great signing. I remember the day they signed him, the narrative was, oh my goodness, this guy can play everywhere from nose tackle to safety. Belichick is going to celebrate. That was 2006.
Jesus, it is that far back.
But that was a day one signing on free agency. And Belichick, with a versatile guy like this, with a Brian Urlacher type of guy, a guy who could be a linebacker or a safety or a nose tackle, he never was a good fit on that offense. All the places Belichick could put him, they never found a place for him to maximize his talents. Here's my point. While everybody gets excited about free agency, Belichick builds his team three ways. Trades, which he's already started with this trade now for Michael Bennett. Trades, second day, third day, fourth day free agents, and the draft. And while everybody want to look at the draft and say, Belichick's drafts suck, look at last year's draft. Isaiah Wynn, Sony Michel, Duke Dawson, Juwan Bentley. Top four draft picks, two first round, a second round, and a fifth round. Only two of them played, Sony Michel and Juwan Bentley. Both contributed. Sony Michel was great, arguably, scored six postseason touchdowns, and the only touchdown in the Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl without getting anything from their number one pick, Isaiah Wynn, and their second round pick, Duke Dawson. How many other teams could do that? But here's why Belichick can do it. Here's free agents or trades that were contributors on the Super Bowl team last year. Trent Brown, Lawrence Guy, Kyle Van Noy, Jason McCourty, Cordarrelle Patterson, Danny Shelton, Adrian Claiborne, Josh Gordon. My point is, as we sit here on the week of NFL free agency, while you made this point earlier, and it's a really good one, we don't know what the hell the Patriots are going to do. But history tells us they're going to go sign a bunch of guys, Danny Shelton, Kyle Van Noy, Lawrence Guy, Trent Brown, or trade for them, Michael Bennett being the first, that we're going to go, really?
And they're not going to do anything on day one. That's what.
Well, they might.
But it's unlikely.
It is unlikely by their history.
Just based on their history.
But if they are, who are they going to sign? They're not going to sign a tackle for top money. They have Isaiah Wynn, their first pick in the draft last year. Someone else is going to give Trent Brown big money, and they're going to let him walk as good as he was. And with Dante Scarnecchia, i.e. Dana Lavangi, they're going to find a closer that can play left tackle, and they won't. By the end of the year, you'll be like, who's Nate Solder? Well, who's Trent Brown?
What's the Dante Scarnecchia Dana Lavangi comp
there? In fairness to Dante Scarnecchia, Dana Lavangi hasn't proven it as many years.
Dana's been there since, the 90s?
That's my analogy. Dana Lavangi, I think...
Dana started the organization as a minor league... He's never been with another organization.
Alex Cora believes so much in Dana Lavangi. If you remember at his press conference, he said, if I was going to take another job, I was going after him. I was going to hire him. And by the way, he said something revealing this preseason at spring training at the start. He said he asked Dana Lavangi to be his bench coach. I don't know if you heard that. And Lavangi said no.
I did know that teams were interested in Dana as a
But that's
coach.
How much he believed in the guy. The analogy for me with Dana Lavangi and Dante Scarnecchia is what you just said. They've been with the same organization for going on three decades, and they've been a position coach. Dana's worn many different hats, but they've also done a really good job of getting the most out of the people that do that. So my point about Scarnecchia being the Dana Lavangi or vice versa is that while we may criticize the Patriots for not spending the money that Trent Brown's about to get, history tells that Dante Scarnecchia is going to coach his ass off and coach Isaiah Wynn up, and that rookie is going to become the left tackle, and we're not going to miss Trent Brown.
That is the credibility and I guess the leeway that this organization has earned, is that no matter who they let go, no matter how small or no name the signing appears to be, the default position in this market, and maybe rightfully so, but regardless, that's the reality of it, is, well, they know something we don't. Well, they will make this guy a contributor, even if you don't realize how that will be at this point.
Well, but history tells us they can do that. Not all the time, by the way.
But we always just swallow it as that's the case.
Did you see the call we have on the line?
Oh, I can't wait for this.
And I think this is my guy, Bruce. Is this my guy, Bruce?
How you doing?
Is this Bruce?
Yeah.
How you doing, Bruce?
Is this your squirrel man?
I don't know. Bruce, are you my squirrel guy?
I could give you some input on...
No, no, no. Are you the guy that we've...
No, no, no.
Oh, I have... Because my other guy's name is Bruce.
How many Bruce squirrel people are there?
Definitely not your squirrel guy.
Are you a...
Oh, you could be if you want to
qualify your squirrel credentials. Are you a...
I have some squirrel information.
Okay.
My father had a really bad squirrel problem in his attic, and he did the same thing as you. We brought him about a couple miles, and it didn't work. And we did the research.
They came back. Yes.
It's
unbelievable, Evan.
And apparently, you have to remove them outside of a 25-mile radius. If you take them outside of 25 miles, they will not find their way home.
Really? But within 25 miles.
They're just trying to live for their squirrel family, man. So, they're just trying to find some acorns, and that's it. That's all they want. They just want to be happy like you and me.
So if I will defend my squirrels from my property in Randolph, according to Bruce, I need to take them to Byfield or Amesbury. I need to head north or south. I need to take them to Coventry, Rhode Island. If I want to get rid of them.
Well, those are known squirrel havens. Those are territories where the mayors have come out and said they welcome the squirrels. They will protect
the squirrels. So, Bruce, how far away did you bring the squirrels from your father's house where they found their way back?
50 miles. When they found their way back, it was only a couple of miles.
Well, how do you know it's the same squirrels? You tag them?
Oh, you know.
They were red squirrels, so they definitely weren't gray squirrels.
I'm sorry, a red squirrel?
A red squirrel,
like a commie squirrel?
So, Bruce, how bad... These conversations going off the rails. Can you call Chris Cotillo and see what he has to say about the squirrel conversation? So, Bruce, seriously, what type of problem did you? How bad did the squirrel problem get in your dad's house?
Oh, they were eating the eaves off of his property.
Oh yeah,
we stuck metal mesh on where they were coming
right
in. And they ate through metal mesh.
Oh yeah, they're nasty,
so,
Evan.
What are they? So, what are they trying to get? What are they trying to?
Well,
do?
First of all, they just want shelter.
Yeah, take care just of like you and me.
Yeah, but they're not paying rent. Okay?
Yeah.
That's right. Number one.
But here's your problem. It's against the law to take them out of their natural habitat. Don't tell anybody we're doing this.
So my house is their natural habitat?
It's,
yeah.
Well, that,
finally,
that,
the law protects the little guy. For once.
That region is against the law to take them out of that region.
The
yeah.
Legion of Squirrels. Bruce, my friend, I thank you for the information.
Enjoy your weekend. Go Bruins.
I feel smarter. I feel much more educated. And I'm going after those damn squirrels.
What's a red squirrel as opposed to a red? Is that a different squirrel? That a like the commandos of the squirrels?
No, they're Marxians.
Like they got a beret
they
on?
Worship. They worship Marx.
Right.
Red squirrels.
Communist squirrels.
The AOC squirrels.
Donald Trump is out to build a wall against the red squirrels. That's what you need to know.
I think that's the metaphor we're working at here.
Final segment after this.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Talk socks and more right now. 617-779-7937. Weekends rule even more with Butch and
Evan Drake
on Sports Radio WEEI.
How to get rid of squirrels in your attic. Are resident squirrels doing a number upstairs? Here are several ways to remove them without damaging your home.
Your home's already damaged.
Cages, caulk, steel, and wire mesh. And
we're gonna finish with some squirrel talk, but I want to hit you up with this. I just did this math. You know how everybody always says, oh, you got to have a great draft in the NFL. It's part of your team. You have to have a great draft, right? Explain to me how the Patriots have been in four of the last five Super Bowls. And I just looked it up in the break real quick. Over the last five drafts, they've drafted 42 guys. Do you know how many are starters on this team right now?
Four.
Seven. Does that seem high or low?
Leave it to me to give the Patriots too little credit.
Sony Michel, Dietrich Wise, Joe Tooney, Elandon Roberts, Trey Flowers, Shaq Mason, James White, and eight, if you want to count their long snapper, Joe Cardona.
And is anybody a starter anywhere else at this point?
Malcolm Brown's gone now. Jamie Collins is gone. But within those drafts, they've also had huge busts. Dominic Easley, Cyrus Jones, Jordan Richards, Aaron Dobson. Jimmy Garoppolo was a hit. My point is they've been in four of the five last Super Bowls, and you could argue that every one of their drafts have been miserable.
Well, and I think there's some shared credit and philosophy between the Red Sox and the Patriots right now of whatever, farm system, draft picks, let's win now. Let's do it. Let's go for the moment. And maybe you can argue, I think the Red Sox have taken it too far, but you can argue that that stuff's been undervalued a bit, that everybody gets so excited about the future. Well, what about what we got right here today in front of us?
Right. And Belichick would rather go with a guy like Kyle Van Noy that was somebody else's second-round draft pick, get him at your money, fit him into your system. And when I say Kyle Van Noy, that's Trent Brown, that's Jason McCourty, that's Danny Shelton, that's Adrian Claiborne. Get ready, folks. Because next Thursday and Friday, the Patriots are going to sign five or six guys that you've either never heard of or look at them and said, wow, he did have 6.5 sacks last year. Wow, he was a, you know, solid contributor and played three different positions on the offensive line.
It's amazing how every single one of these guys is going to have a headline of how he fits in perfectly, how he's just the right fit for the Bill Belichick Patriots way.
You ready for more squirrel talk?
Oh, I think it's the best thing we've done all
Let's
day.
Let's go to Tom. Oh, wait a minute. Tom in Boston, who wants to tell us how to get rid of squirrels. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Butch, how are you?
Good.
We used to have skunks in my sister's yard, and it's a shed. A 50-gallon drum of water, leave them in the trap, throw the skunks in the water, they'll be gone the next morning.
Kids,
they will come back.
Yeah, but
to
squirrels
house.
Can swim.
No, they can't. Once you put the love, you put a cover on the water and put a brick on the top, they ain't swimming.
See, I like the
can't we just be nice?
Exhaust from the cars. That's more humane.
I mean, that's
yeah.
That's
they mob just, stuff. They go to sleep. They just die. Yeah, they don't drown.
Yeah, but they'll drown. The skunks do, the squirrels do.
You sound like my father-in-law, the late Vinny Civita. And up at Maine, he had a lot of mice, and he would do the bucket with the water with the little peanut butter on the spinning thing. So
yeah,
the,
that's how you catch them. You put peanut butter in the trap. That's how they come in.
You know PETA's listening to this right now, right?
But they don't.
PETA?
They don't come
PETA's coming after
like
us.
Like Peter Shepard?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Tom. I'll take it under advisement. Let's go to Brett on the Cape, who has another squirrel story. Hi, Brett.
How we doing, guys?
Good.
Excellent. Good show. So a few years back, a friend of mine went back to see her family for Christmas. And right before she did that, she had received an enormous gingerbread house. She didn't think much about it. It's on the coffee table. She didn't have a cap on the chimney. So a squirrel fell through the chimney, landed in the house that was entirely locked, ate the entire gingerbread house. Over the next few days, managed to destroy her brand new couch.
Oh, yeah. No, that wasn't a squirrel. That was me, Brett.
And destroyed every wooden windowsill in the house.
Look, I was just hungry, man.
I'm picturing is Evan in a big, fat squirrel suit lying on the couch with a huge belly because he ate the whole gingerbread.
I know I've gained some weight, Butch, but please.
Poison to kill squirrels in the attic.
Find out with Joe in the truck. He's got to be finding something interesting here.
Related, I mean,
we're running out of time, but I think Joe's got a squirrel story too. That I'm telling you, they're the nastiest. They're worse than rats. Squirrels are worse than rats.
They don't count as vermin, right? I think a vermin.
Ask Joe in the truck.
Squirrel, I think vermin
Joe,
is a very particular
squirrel worse
definition.
Than a rat.
I would think so.
What's your squirrel story?
My brother lives in a small place up in upstate New York, a half hour from Saratoga, Round Lake it's called. And when they first established it, they had an ordinance that if you had a cat or a dog, it had to be on a leash if it was outside, so it wouldn't bother the squirrels.
Oh, my goodness. They protected the squirrels up in upstate New York?
Yeah.
Somebody's got to look out for the squirrels.
Yeah, Round Lake, village of Round Lake.
Everybody's looking out for everybody but the squirrels, but I'm here to tell you about the squirrels.
The ordinance up there was that you had to have a leash for your cat or your dog so they wouldn't bother the squirrels.
Correct.
Did you also have to buy the squirrels food? Did you have to go out and feed them?
No, but they had to pick the squirrels were, I guess, around a pedestal. My brother had like a history at a village.
Why couldn't you have a pet squirrel?
Thanks for sharing, Joe. Thanks for the call. Let me tell you something, okay? You keep going back to they're just trying to protect their families and the nice fuzzy little animals.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. You come into my property, I'm Pedro Martinez now. You come into my clubhouse and I will shoot you. You come into my property, you eat my wires, you eat into my walls, you poke your head and wake up my tenant. Oh, yeah, it's on. It's on.
We got hamsters as pets. Why can't we have a squirrel as a pet? What's the
hamster.
Difference?
I'll squash a hamster.
You got a gerbil?
With my foot.
You got guinea pigs? These are all pets.
No. A squirrel is a nasty animal. It's nasty. They're all nasty.
Did
they
you know
teach their little
there are
squirrels
more than 365
to be nasty.
Species of squirrel.
Maybe it's being conditioned to be that way. Maybe it just needs some love, Butch.
Somebody's
gotta love
gonna,
the squirrel.
You're gonna turn the squirrel around by loving it up.
That's the age we live in today.
I'm telling you, they're nasty. And I'm gonna get rid of them. I'm going to be on a mission as soon as this snow melts. This is a good day for me and a bad day for the squirrels. This rain is going to get all the snow away, and I'm coming up there. I'm going to put on my little squirrel suit so they don't know me. And I'm going to tell you, hey, you're out of work. You want to help? I'll pay you some good money.
What do you got? $5 an hour? I'm
yeah.
in. It's more than this place.
It's fine. All right, that's going to do it for the Drellick and Butch experience.
Do I get to keep the acorns?
Yeah, you can keep all the nuts you want, including Chris Cotillo.
I'm done.
Good hanging with you, Evan. John Anderson, fine job again producing, and we'll do more squirrel talk when we get back. Patrick is on the way. Hello, Patrick. How are you? He doesn't hear me. Patrick Gilroy is up next. Have a great weekend, everybody. Hope you watch Boston 25 tonight at 11:15. Tom Lydon and I will have our Sunday sports wrap show. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.